State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio.
ESPN 1000.
The home of the White Sox.
WMVP Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, not a good day in Chicago sports on the injury front. There are two major injuries that were announced today, one in season, one out of season. The biggest is Nick Madrigal. If you watched the game last night, he was reaching to first base, and he came up short and did not hit the bag and then came up lame and then had to really be helped off the field. They were worried that he was blowing out his Achilles. And we thought, hey, maybe this is a break, that it's a hamstring, yeah. But it turns out that it's a
severe hamstring.
It's a severe hamstring tear.
Yeah.
And there, I'll let Rick Hahn speak and take a listen to Rick Hahn from just about an hour ago.
We are placing Nick Madrigal on the 60-day IL due to a proximal tear of his right hamstring. At this point, we are still exploring options, and our doctors are talking to different specialists about the treatment protocol, which could potentially include season-ending surgery, or at the other extreme may be simply a matter of rest and rehabilitation as the hamstring heals. Regardless of which path we're on, he'll be inactive for a minimum of 6 weeks, thus the 60-day IL placement. To take Nick's spot on the active roster, we are selecting the contract of outfielder Brian Goodwin from AAA Charlotte. He'll be in uniform tonight. Obviously, the thought process behind that is providing us with another outfielder who can play all three positions, with the expectation that Lurie Garcia, for the time being, will be in the second base mix with Danny Mendick.
So there, and Mendick's in the lineup today. The other injury was Coby White. Coby White apparently was training or playing basketball, was a basketball injury, the Bulls put it, over this past weekend and suffered a shoulder injury. And did he already undergo shoulder surgery, Waddle, or is he going to undergo shoulder surgery and it's going to be at least 4 months until he's evaluated next?
I thought you said that he had had it,
yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure. But
he had it, yes. Yeah. The Bulls tweeted that out.
Yeah.
So he'll be reevaluated in 4 months as a guy, yes, who needed to train and to get better at basketball in the offseason, and now he's rehabbing a significant shoulder injury.
Yeah.
So two major injuries today in Chicago sports.
Yeah, when you hear Rick Hahn talk about the fact that they even consider surgery for a hamstring,
crazy.
You know immediately that it's severe.
312-332-3776. The question we've been asking Sox fans, as the topic has been all year about the Cubs, what are they going to do at the trade deadline? This is really interesting for the White Sox as well. All right, you know, the money's going to be flowing here. The attendance is going to pick up. 100% capacity. Three of your major players now are down out of your lineup, but you don't know if they're going to be back, and you don't know when they're going to be back, even maybe by July 31st. So how do you handle, you know, two outfield positions and the second base position?
I think this is more about what we're willing to part with than money. I don't think money, because they've got I think their roster right now, as good as it is pretty cost controlled.
Yeah.
So they don't have an enormous payroll comparatively. So I think the questions they're asking themselves have less to do about money and more to do about what are we willing to give up, in fact, if we are going to make a significant move.
That's a great point. I want to go to this caller. This guy can't be... Nick and Lyons, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nick?
What's up, guys? I'm outside trying to get the pool ready, sweating my butt out.
Look at you. Nice. Very nice. How was the temp? Well, you got the warm water in the pool?
The water is pretty warm. Just adding the chemicals now because it's looking a little cloudy, but we're close to it.
All right.
But I wanted to suggest this, and I know some people are going to think I'm crazy for suggesting it, but
yes,
I think this is last year of his contract. You know, he's not promised next year with us. We should trade Rodon and get a relief pitcher and a starting, you know, either outfielder or second baseman in return. because I really think this guy's going to come back down to earth, because his first 6 years in the league with us has been mediocre at best when he's healthy. So I think it's the perfect time to get a lot back for
Nick,
Rodon.
You're crazy. For a couple reasons. Fundamentally, you're the only team that would want Rodon now are teams already in the pennant race because of what you just said, that he's on a one-year deal. So like anybody who acquires him, it's not like he's signed for the next 4 years for a team that would be selling. So, and then, like, he's been too good. He throws 100. You ride this wave as far as it takes you.
He hit 100 once in the game yesterday.
Yeah. You ride Rodon. You don't look to trade him
now. You finally got him right.
Yeah.
I mean, for a short period of time here, I would not trade him. In fact, I would. He's one of the reasons why I would be more open to a big deal in terms of adding.
Right.
Because of how well he has performed, he gives me hope.
You would approach him about an extension right now? You would say, you're healthy, would you sign right now for X amount for the next couple of years?
Well, I don't know I have time to do that right now because I'm going to be busy searching for answers to filling bat, you know, spots where I've got openings for my bats at the moment, but we could get to that.
Yeah.
Maybe after the trade deadline we could talk about it.
Trevor in Shorewood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Trev?
What's up, guys?
You tell us.
No, I'm hoping the Sox do something after that injury. They're scaring me now.
Like, so what
I think they still got it, but
what do you want them to do position player wise? Do you want to take a chance and go after like a full scale replacement for one of these three positions, or are you willing to go maybe more of a mid level player because there's hope that they could return?
So I'm thinking more of a mid level player, but I think you got to lean towards the offensive side on a player and just throw defense out the window. With those three bats out, I think you can't get a player that can offensively and defensively satisfy you for what they're willing to give up.
You know, I'm going to use like what Jeff Passan has said to us. He doesn't think that the Cubs will get a ton in return for Chris Bryant, right?
Yeah, I disagree.
I kind of do as well. But if he's right and we're wrong, couldn't the Sox make a trade for a comparable type player who's in the final year of his deal as the Sox try to win the 2021 World Series, knowing that that guy is going to be a potential free agent and you may not sign him for the long run, but what you're doing is you're renting a player for, if Jeff Passan is right, not an astronomical price that provides a bat
sure,
in the lineup?
Sure.
I mean, if that's the case,
right,
if you're not giving up a ton for somebody who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year and you don't have any intention of signing them, maybe you pull off a deal that doesn't cost you as much as maybe you thought it would cost, and he fills an enormous role in your lineup.
It's a good point. Kyle in Palatine, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
Hey, so obviously injuries have not been pretty woeful for us this year, but what do you guys think of the idea of moving Moncada to second and bringing up Berger to play third?
Boy, so you're now sold on Jake Berger. I know he's been hitting better, but you're throwing him right into the fire, huh?
Throwing him out there. You looked good a couple of years ago. I know it's been a while, a couple of injuries, but you look good.
Yeah, and Moncada came up as a second baseman. Like, what I would – I'm open to anything. I'm going to – it's something to ask Len at 5:30.
I'm watching Connor online, Connor McKnight, pregame host for the White Sox, coming up at 6:30 tonight. Connor is letting everyone know with the idea of moving Moncada off of third base, so that's not something that...
Well, and then I was going to say, like, I'm not toying with Moncada now that he's finally rolling after last year's season. I'm not changing positions when he's been as good as he's been offensively. You know what I mean?
Of course, yeah. I don't think that that's an option that they're considering.
Josh and Moni, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Josh?
What about Trevor's story? He shouldn't cost a lot. You put him at second, he won't re-sign, but that would also help you so you wouldn't need as big of a bat in the outfield.
You read my mind. I didn't know, Josh, if I wanted to say it because he's a shortstop and I don't know like how well he can play second. But like the Colorado Rockies are 25-37. They just fired their general manager. They've been in sell mode. He is going to be a free agent and he's a dynamic bat. Like,
yeah,
that's exactly what Waddle was describing right there.
Yeah, and he's And I think he's won Gold Gloves at short, so I would think he could move over there.
Right. Josh, it's a good call. Thank you.
Trevor Story's currently on the IL 10-day for an elbow injury.
Okay.
So something to keep our eyes on.
And Patrick in Milwaukee, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, I think now's a good time to either get Story or even Chris Bryant, but I heard you saying not move Mankato. But you could always do that, or even with Story, what about Tim Anderson going to second and switching around?
I'm not moving guys around that have established themselves. Like, I'm not moving Mankato. I'm not moving Tim Anderson. I would not do that. That wouldn't be my...
And again, though, why Bryant is so valuable.
Because he can play everywhere.
Like you have, yeah, he could go and play either corner outfield position for you. He could DH for you. He can play third base for you. He has so much value. And that's why I believe there will be teams wanting him and multiple teams wanting him. So, 312-332-3776. When we come back, I want to play some Jason Benetti. Did you hear Benetti last night?
I did hear it.
I love Benetti for many, many reasons.
I liked his rant and the direction it was going. I thought the actual replay, I could understand why they did what they did. But his comments were not about the outcome. It was about the process.
There was a play at the plate where it looked like Grandal may have been safe. I agree with you. I thought it was maybe a tad inconclusive. So they went with a call on the field. But Benetti's point is so true. It's something that I've raged against. I want to play that. And we'll talk to Len Casper coming up at 5:30.
Attention car shoppers. Find your next car at hawkauto.com. Save big on their entire lineup of Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, Volkswagen, and Nissan vehicles. Drive with 0% financing for 84 months. Plus, due to current market conditions, you'll get more for your trade-in than ever before. 12 big brands, 9 convenient locations. Find your next car at hawkauto.com. Drive what I drive. Drive a Hawk on select models, $11.90 per month per $1,000 financed on approved credit.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Jason Benetti had a good rant on last night's Sox broadcast. We'll get to that. Madrigal out for at least 60 days. He's on the IL. Could be out for the year with a hamstring tear. Drew, who listens to the show, responded to my Scottie Pippen thought, which I just say, the guys who live in glass houses, he wrote this book, and I think he's still writing it. It's called Unguarded. I believe it's coming out in November. I can't wait to read it. I'm going to love it. But he said, spoken like a true Jordan fanboy, to soften the blow when Scottie's book reveals the truth about Jordan and what kind of a teammate he really was. And this is less about Michael, because I believe that if you really watched closely The Last Dance, I think The Last Dance revealed that Michael was a jerk, that Michael was a bully, that even though it was his production.
We kind of knew that.
Yeah. And for those who didn't, I think it sort of highlighted it. Yes.
Yeah.
Like
nothing new there.
I just think that Scottie Pippen, you tell me. And I preface it all by saying I love Scottie. He's one of my favorite all-time players. But his warts are big and his warts are real. You give me a bigger Chicago sports offense than sitting out the last 1.8 seconds of a playoff game because you didn't get your play drawn up. Give me one. Like, people crush Sammy for leaving a game early in 2004. The Cubs were out of it. It was the last game of the year, and he left. Scottie Pippen sat out 1.8 seconds because Phil drew up a play for Tony Kukoc.
Pretty egregious, sports-related.
Give me like a bigger, give me any bigger Chicago sports offense.
Yeah, I can't find one.
I don't think you will.
Off the top of my head.
He's going to point fingers at other people. I don't think he can win that battle. I just don't. I really don't. All right, before we get to Benetti, Chris, let's play your uncensorship that you put together. Describe what we do here.
Well, yeah, so what I've done in the past, so have you guys ever watched Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes, all
Kimmel,
the time.
You know, Jimmy Kimmel has a segment called Unnecessary Censorship, right? They take clips of press conferences, presidents.
We had a good one about Cap and his salmon, right?
Yeah, speaking of, but like back in March, here's a good one.
I'm actually doing salmon tonight with a...
Hard pass.
Oh, you haven't had my salmon with an cream sauce?
Yeah, that's worse now.
Oh, it's delicious, man.
What do you make? How do you make a... cream sauce, and don't say in it.
I do. I take fresh peel it. I put the pieces of the orange into a sauce that has some cream in it and has a little bit of in it. And I want a little bit thicker. Put in a few pieces of orange, and then I squeeze get the juice in there, let it cook up, let the orange steep into the substance, the sauce, and then I drizzle it over the top of the and then I make broccoli in the oven. When it's just about done, I sprinkle it, let that bake in and melt. Oh, what a dinner, man.
Yeah, you know, good fun, right?
Disgusting dinner, Cap.
Unnecessary censorship. Okay. So this morning, I was listening to Cap and Jay Hood, our morning show, 7 to 10 every weekday morning right here on ESPN 1000. And here's some unnecessary censorship on Cap and Jay Hood.
Back in your day, Cap, or when I was a kid, I'm watching the... and I'm seeing the not white, but there was something on it where the like, okay, well, there's enough mud on this thing where I could be able to have control, and that's the difference.
Yeah, because when you get a fresh you get the to start, it's slick.
Yes,
you got to use some spit and you got to kind of rub it up so it doesn't slip out of your hand.
Not supposed to be that you get from the store. It's not supposed to be that simple. It's supposed to be rubbed up. All the highlights, all the I remember getting one. It's like, this not even like the one I play with at home, because the one I went play with at home is from the store.
Or pearl white.
Yeah, pearl white.
Oh, that's fantastic. He's big.
I don't know what they were rubbing up there. But,
the spit and everything.
What were they talking about? That. Yeah, I don't know.
It's not the same as the one I have at home, guys.
Oh, that's good.
That's really good. Well, that better. And speak now. That is unnecessary censorship. We are uncensored on Crosstalk Unhinged. If you have not checked out the ESPN Chicago app for the latest edition of Carmen and Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie Crosstalk, it's back. It is uncensored. It is uncut. It is commercial free, and it's exclusively available on the ESPN Chicago app. So make sure you go there and you download the app if you haven't done it yet, and you listen to the Crosstalk Unhinged. People love it, and we will continue to make them.
A lot of conversation about, didn't we, we touched on attending sporting events, the etiquette with regard to leaving, when is the right time to leave.
That's where I first brought it up, and the Merkin range ball discussion. Yes. Is on there and some sports in there. Some more dinners conversation, I believe.
By the way, just so everybody knows, Merkin has returned the range balls that were left in his bag to the range today, meaning he went to the range and actually was hitting the balls that he'd taken from the range previously. So he gave them back by hitting
to
them.
A different range, though. No? Yes? Or was it the same range? Is he like...
My guess is it's the same range.
It looked like he had some yellow balls and some white balls. And he dropped them off at a range.
Yeah. I think he was trying to actually show everybody that his process is actually not that bad.
Okay. Yeah, I don't believe it. Because what, did he bring an extra ball to replace the one that he hit into the water?
That I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
All right. So let me play this from Benetti. And then Len Casper is going to join us at 5:30. This was yesterday. And like you said, Waddle, Grandal is sliding home.
Yes.
Where was he tagged? You know, they called him out. He looked safe, but can you conclusively say he was safe?
There was talk that maybe the tag was made to his back foot. I didn't.
Stoney was having none of that.
He was, and I wasn't either. I just didn't know. I couldn't tell whether or not his front foot ever actually touched the plate or it was hovering above the plate. That was my question. So at the end, I'm thinking, probably not going to overturn this because it's inconclusive.
Right. So they then rule against what the broadcast thinks is going to happen. They think it's going to be reversed Grandal scores. Big right. game at this point, important time in this game. But Benetti's point isn't necessarily that they called him out, but he wants an explanation. Take a listen to some things from NBC Sports Chicago.
This is one of those, there are enough angles that this should be overturned. You don't have to stay on the plate. You just have to clip plate.
Just touch it. Yes.
Touch it once, and that should be it. So this is taking a little bit longer and makes you a little bit more queasy than you'd like for it to, based on what we thought was definitive. Here, oh, my goodness.
Calls him out.
See, this is one of those, based on the view we have, that seems insane. And this is why right now we need umpires mic'd up to explain what in the world we're looking at. Because if you watch this five times as we did, Yasmani Grandal is safe. It's ridiculous that wasn't overturned, and I would love to hear the reason why. But we're going to go play the fifth because baseball is fun, and the Sox can come back anyway. Wild. Look, you know, I've said it for years. And I've been told by a number of reporters that we are going to have mic'd up umpires after this season, that the pandemic derailed it. So I understand that from Major League Baseball. Every other sport explains to the fans what happened on the field. We need it in baseball. The fans deserve it. I'm done saying it, but you all deserve better than having to guess what happened on instant replay. I don't like it.
Major League Baseball says NFL, hold our beer.
Yeah, again, right.
Once
right.
again, hold our beer.
Right. And then Michael Kay is telling Garrett Cole that he should be throwing at
Josh Donaldson.
At Josh yeah. Donaldson's ribs and breaking
ribs. I agree with what Jason is saying. Give us an explanation for why you came to the conclusion that you did.
And you know where I stand on this. I have said it is in the age of Zoom, in the age of technology, and Mark Lazarus, who covers the Hawks, had an interesting thing. Like, we don't even need the umpires in that. The umpires are not even involved in this. They have the stupid headsets on, and as Lazarus puts, you could put a green light or a red light. If the challenge is successful, it's a green light. if it's not, it's a red light. You don't need the Why are we watching umpires in headsets? What we need is what the XFL did. I don't know if you remember what the XFL did, and there should be a camera on the guy reviewing the play, and he should talk you through it, and they should put it on the Jumbotron in the stadium, and on our broadcast, we should get the camera and the sound of the guy reviewing the play in New York, and he could announce, this is the angle, it's inconclusive, we don't know where he tagged him, and this is why it is.
Full transparency.
Full transparency. What are you afraid of? Like, we don't need mic'd up umpires. We don't need these guys. These guys stink anyway. They're going to be robot umpires. Hey, did you see some of the calls last night from the...
I was watching the Cubs-Padres game, and I don't think I've seen a worse performance by a home plate umpire all year long.
And there was one game this year where an ump got like only 85% of the strikes yeah. and balls right. So
home plate umpire threw a bat unintentionally yeah. and hit Jose Abreu in the leg last night.
So I don't need those guys, Mike. I need less of those guys. What I need is New York. With technology today, it is so easy to just put the camera there and to say, okay, fans, now we go to New York. What are they going to rule?
Well, and again,
watch them review it.
Getting it right is the ultimate issue here, but it's also entertainment. And if you're looking to, and this is just another way to do it.
Right.
If you're looking to appease your fans and give them an inside look at something else.
How does it work? How's the sausage made? You know, show us who's reviewing it.
I just think it's not going to be the determining factor for whether or not I sit down and watch a baseball game. It just enhances the presentation.
Absolutely, and it tells you why. And he says, look, I don't know if he's safer out here. We can't tell definitively that he went where he was tagged.
Based on our evaluation here, and we don't even know if they have extra camera angles that we
have. That's the other thing. You're absolutely right. Like, the ones that we see on replay, we don't know if Major League Baseball's secret angles.
I don't know how they would do that, but I still want to know. I mean, Yeah, I think it would enhance. And I did not really realize that, but Jason also said this has been promised, what, going forward after the 2021 season? Is that...
Well, right, that they're going to be, like, think about it. The NBA referees now explain what they see.
Right, and at least the umpires are going to be mic'd up and tell you what has transpired.
But I think the referee is a part of the review process in the in the NFL and also B in the NBA.
I would think...
In hockey, they do this, too. Major League Baseball is the only sport that you don't get an explanation to why they either upheld or changed a call.
I would also think that the guy who made the call should be on the headset, actually, in some way, shape, or form, whether it's pertinent or not, explaining what happened to the replay official as well. Or just be there if there's a question that needs to be asked.
All right, we'll ask Len Casper about this. His thoughts, we'll ask him what the Sox should be looking for position player-wise. The voice of the White Sox, Len Casper, joins us next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Good day with the news on the injury front. Nick Madrigal, who continues to get better. Waddle mentioned his defense has been improving. I'm a big fan that he's different than the rest. He's been batting over 300. He leads them in hits. He is out for a while with a torn hamstring. Rick Hahn met the media earlier today. And surgery is still on the table, and that would mean he would be out for the year. There's also a chance he could rest and rehab and maybe does come back. He's on the 60-day IL. We have White Sox baseball tonight at 6:30. Connor, Len, and Darren Jackson with your pregame and then your call of the first pitch tonight between the Blue Jays and White Sox.
Been an awful lot of adversity, and we haven't even reached the halfway point of June.
And they've done well with it so far.
Yeah.
And you just wonder if they can continue to do well. They do have the great pitching. Let's talk to the voice of the White Sox right now. Len Casper joins us each and every week. He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Len, what was your reaction when you heard the news about Nick Madrigal?
Well, you know, it's interesting, guys, because, you know, I do the Tony La Russa show every day, and we generally have a time frame, and that got pushed back a little bit. So I immediately thought, yeah, it's probably about an injury. And then when Rick Hahn shows up on the media Zoom, you go, uh-oh. And he even alluded to that. So I didn't expect it to be good news. And it wasn't. The first place I go is I feel really bad for the player. It's the way I felt when Aloy went down. It's the way I felt when Luis got hurt. And it's definitely how I feel with Nick, who was having a really nice stretch. I mean, offensively, starting to hit the ball for gap power, four triples to have a share of the American League lead. I think defensively he's been much better here of late. Just a guy you can count on every day in your lineup. And to now know that he might not be available for the rest of the year, which would be the worst-case scenario, and I think you have to kind of operate with that at least in the back of your mind if you're the White Sox, it's pretty devastating. And the other part is, now that you look ahead, there wasn't a ton of depth in terms of middle infield here, and you're really starting to test that. Fortunately, it's a team that's in first place, and that helps a lot, but it's a bad one, not going to lie.
It's amazing, isn't it, Len? I just mentioned the adversity that this team has faced. We're not even to the halfway point of June. They're 13 games over 500. I mean, you've got some great individual performances from their rotation, but the vibe in that clubhouse has been so good and so strong. At some point, you know, all of these injuries have to take their toll on their record, doesn't it?
Well, not necessarily, Tom. I mean, I think they are really good, and I think they're deep generally, and you give this front office a lot of credit, and the manager and the staff and the players themselves for having defensive versatility with all the infielders having to play the outfield. I think that's kind of the silver lining behind all this. But I look at the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, half their bullpen is on the injured list. The Yankees have been, you know, one of the most ravaged teams in baseball the last two or three years with injury. and they just win 100 games every year, right? The Dodgers have had a little lot of injuries, so nobody feels sorry for you, and it really is an industry-type thing where a lot of guys right now are hurt and important players. But it doesn't make it any easier in the moment, I guess, when you have to contemplate life without a guy like Nick. Now, I don't know if and when Aloy and Luis Robert are going to be back, but I think the flip side to this is for these three guys in particular, if you get them back at all this year, now you kind of feel like it's a bonus and it could be a huge lift late in the season if any of that happens.
Len, I know you're an exceptionally sharp guy. I do not know, apologies, whether or not you have a medical degree, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway. Okay. But Ken, is there any way to connect any of these dots? I know the Aloy injury is an upper body injury and the Robert injury is a hip injury, but you just mentioned there is a series of injuries across the league. Can you point to anything that would explain why there are so many injuries, not just with this team, but maybe in Major League Baseball to this point?
I can't. I think there are some theories out there about the starting, the stopping, the starting again last year, and that weird year everybody had, and that somehow could be connected, but I don't really know. I know every team is trying to figure out how to prevent these things from happening, but at the end of the day, man, when you're trying to beat out an infield hit or you're trying to save a home run, you know, just these weird movements, it's stuff you can't practice, and I think at times you guys just do things they've never done before, trying to help their team win, and all of a sudden you're out for 6 weeks or 12 weeks or an entire season because something snapped.
The outstanding voice of the White Sox joining us right now, Len Casper. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So what you said about, hey, they could get them back, and it's almost like bonuses. But so how does Rick Hahn handle that balancing act of the trade deadline happening on July 31st, And hoping they come back, but not counting on it, and going after someone of substance position player-wise?
Well, I'm not going to speak for him, but I would say that he probably has had a bunch of sleepless nights contemplating that very question. How much do you give up to get a player back in return who could be an everyday player, and then all of a sudden, if the other guy comes back, you don't mind having depth, right, and too many good players, but then all of a sudden you maybe have mortgaged a bit too much of your future, if not even your present, to maybe have to get the guy you want, and then the balance doesn't quite work when everybody's healthy. I don't know the ultimate answer to that question. I would like to think that by maybe mid-July, you know, Kenny and Rick and Jeremy Haber will have a better idea of how realistic it is that any, if or all of the three will be back. So I do think there's still time, and I appreciate that they've let this play out with internal solutions. And so far, they haven't needed to go out and make a trade. And the main reason is their starting pitching has been so good that they're in every single ball game, and then I think secondarily the guys who've filled in have also been excellent for the most part. But I think that the best answer to give, guys, is you wait as long as you can toward that trade deadline and then make those big decisions when you're forced to.
All right, so let's just play a hypothetical. We had a lot of calls on this, and I promised that I would ask you. If they would go out and get someone of note to play an infield position, whether it's like a Trevor Story type player, are you open-minded to moving players, whether it's Moncada back to second base or moving Tim Anderson to second base, or are you not screwing around with them?
It's funny. I was talking with two people here separately about the very question of Moncada moving back to second base. I even thought about it in terms of Jake Lamb, who is a third baseman by trade, and if you want to have him in the lineup a little more often and you've got enough outfielders that day that you could put Lamb there. And ultimately, Sylvie, where I go, Yoan's having an MVP-type season.
Yeah.
I'm not messing with him. The only way I would do it is if he literally walked into Tony's office and said, I want to play second base. I don't think that's a question I would feel comfortable asking him. I would leave that one up to the player. And for now, I would leave him right where he is.
Len, I know he can't take the ball every night, but I'd like to watch Lance Lynn pitch every night. That guy's a dude, and he deals, and he's fun to watch do what he does.
He is. He really is. He's a very interesting guy off the field as well. I've gotten to know him a little bit. He's exactly what I think this team and this pitching staff needed. He's been through a lot of those wars. He's pitched in the postseason. He pitched for Tony when he was a rookie way back when. The stuff is really good, and the bar has been set so high that I don't think I've been effusive enough in my praise when all of a sudden you look down and you go, wait a minute, he just went seven innings, no walks, and nine strikeouts. But we've come to expect it now. It feels like every fifth day from Lance Lynn. And this has been one of the best stretches I've seen in a long time, probably going back to when I watched Jake Arrieta dominate. The stuff is not the same as Jake's. It's more fastball heavy. But right now, you're almost shocked when he gives up a run.
Yeah.
We were debating earlier in the show, Len, whether or not the record against really good teams is important for the White Sox if they keep winning in general.
Well, they're dominating the teams they should beat, and they're right around 500 against the really good teams. That's usually how it plays out, right? There aren't too many teams in the history of the game who dominate everybody. Those are the teams that win 115 games a year. So with the unbalanced schedule that we have now, the idea is against the fourth and fifth place clubs, if you can win 14, 15 out of 19 against each, you really don't have to dominate the rest of the league, and the White Sox are on, what, about a 98-99 win pace right now? That'll work.
Yeah, that will play, right?
And finally, Len, are you as frustrated as everyone is with replay? Not necessarily the outcome, but the process and the lack of transparency?
Yes and no. I think it has come a long way. I think they've done a much better job with it. I feel like we've had more moments in games where the proceedings tend to be halted because of the 20-second limit. There have been a few calls that feel like they should have been overturned and have not. I think ultimately it will keep getting better, and I think the best thing is the communication aspect, and that's where miking the crew chief is probably the way to go. So the 25,000 people in the ballpark and those watching and listening can hear it directly from the person who got it from New York. Here's the call, and here's why we made it. I think that would help a lot.
Right? Len, I've said, why not just show us through technology the guy reviewing the play in New York? Why can't we mic that guy up?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Right? The XFL did it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good with that. Yep. Absolutely.
Len, have a great game. Good stuff as always, and we always appreciate your time.
Thanks, Len.
Have a great weekend, fellas.
There he is. He's outstanding, and he's right here on ESPN 1000 nearly each and every day. He's Len Casper, and he's the voice of the White Sox.
Didn't the XFL also wrestle for the football to see who got it?
That's the old XFL. Oh, I'm not saying it's all good, but
I'm just saying maybe we could do the same thing. The pitchers could wrestle on the mound, and whoever wins, they get to choose whether they want to bat first or bat last.
You lead me perfectly into the meathead notion that the voice of the Yankees brought up the air.
Yeah.
And he wants to wrestle, maybe even more. I want to play you one of the worst things I've heard from a play-by-play voice in baseball in a long time. That's coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Michael Kay does really good work for ESPN New York. He's their Waddle and Sylvie, right? I mean,
he's their afternoon host.
Yeah,
yes. and as well as the voice of the Yankees.
Yes, and the voice of the Yankees.
Obviously wears more than one hat.
Yeah, he does. And I think that's...
I think you and I could call Yankees games if they asked us to.
Yankees win! Yankees win!
I'm not interested in doing John Sterling? No, yeah. I'll do my own.
That was pretty good, though.
And not bad tonight. Yankees win. See you tomorrow.
So Michael Kay This is from his show yesterday. This isn't from the Yankee broadcast. He had a problem with that.
I think like Jonathan does. There's Network Jonathan when he's doing White Sox pre and post game, and then there's Jonathan on Cap and Jay Hood.
Yeah, well, wherever this guy is, whether he's just talk show Michael Kay, it's the wrong take. It's completely wrong, and it's everything that's wrong with baseball. I mean, this old school thinking they all think alike is exactly why the unwritten rules suck. It's why the old school ways suck. And it makes no sense whatsoever. So Josh Donaldson, a very good player, he comes out and he says he's got the catalog, the card catalog of all the pitchers who've been cheating for all these years.
Using the junk.
We would have liked, not everyone loves a rap, but wouldn't we have liked someone to stop the Astros before the Astros won? Yes?
I don't care about the Astros.
I do. I mean, if there's a cheating scandal going on, let's end it.
Yeah, I think it would have saved everybody a lot of angst. Yeah.
Didn't we learn this year that baseball, they cheating always. There's just cheating going on. It's
there's
part of baseball.
There's cheating, 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 and more cheating.
Offense, defense, whatever. Baseball's sticky.
Yeah,
I would just suggest don't have a rule if you're not willing to enforce it.
All right, so Josh Donaldson brings this up, and he mentions Gerrit Cole. You know, and Gerrit Cole faces the Twins last night. He actually pitched great. He struck out 9. I lost that bet on DraftKings.
Struck out Donaldson twice.
Yes, and I think that's the best revenge. Michael Kay, before the game on his show, wanted him to get revenge in a different way.
What's he going to do tonight on the heels of an awkward press conference, on the heels of what Josh Donaldson said? And I'll tell you what Michael Kay, the player, would do, and I'm not advocating, please don't think I'm advocating for it, but I think Chris Carlin said at the end of the show yesterday with us, Josh Donaldson getting one right in the ribs for opening his mouth. Well, why are you jumping me? Even Cole said that was low-hanging fruit because he's the guy with the big contract. He's getting one right in the ribs in the first inning. Right in the ribs. You want to talk? Try talking with a broken rib. I know that sounds really bad, animalistic, but Donaldson attacked this guy's integrity with no proof whatsoever other than that his spin rate dropped 6%. Well, you know what? I'm not using sticky stuff today, Josh, and the ball just slipped out of my hand, and it headed right to your rib. Sorry. See, the sticky stuff actually helps with command, but he's not going to do that because he's a good guy and I'm not. That's how I would react to this stuff, and that's why God never gave me any talent to be in professional sports, because I'd be a vindictive creep there on the mound.
At least he was honest about his approach had caveman-like qualities to it.
Yeah, at least he knows.
I just, look, under no circumstances am I throwing a baseball at somebody. I mean, didn't Pilar almost die?
Yeah.
I mean, that may be a bit of an exaggeration. We got a hit in the face, and it could have drastically changed his life forever.
Of course, or ruin his vision or something.
Yes.
Like all this stuff. You swung at 3-0? Well, let's hit him. Oh, you ratted me out. You called out pitchers for cheating. Let's hit him in the rib. Like, that doesn't, it doesn't fit the crime. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
And it would all end if you would just let them fight one-on-one like hockey players. I've always told you that. If you let the pitcher, if the pitcher wants to go at you and throw intentionally, don't let all the benches. You want to fight? Then let's fight. You want to throw a ball? Then let's go one-on-one.
You don't have to convince me.
And then I don't think a pitcher is willing to do that. He knows he's got 8 other guys with him in the field against that one batter.
Yeah, we go one-on-one. And we actually run out one of the MMA referees. They come flying out of the dugout and they go after it.
And then they can wrestle.
Big John. Isn't John one of the MMA refs from back in the day? Maybe you bring Big John out.
There you go. All right, so we have Black and Abdallah for two short in 2 short minutes.
Oh, you say for 2 minutes, guys? You guys get 2 minutes
almost
tonight?
They're on for a half hour. Then we've got White Sox pregame with Connor McKnight, Lennon DJ coming up at 7:10 first pitch. Thank you to Len Casper and Dan Weeder today. Thank you to Black and Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight?
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.